and it rips off my earpiece. I guess that's better than ripping off my ear. Once again, good morning to everyone. I really do appreciate the songs that were selected by Brother Matt this morning, especially that particular song. I hadn't thought of that myself. And what's really interesting is that that song is a parallel between the way Jesus was and the way we want to be. Jesus was a servant. And yet, it is important for all of us to be like the Master. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of John chapter 11 at verse 55 through John chapter 12 and verse 8. You know, for the last 6 months or so, we've had 24 lessons counting today. And it's a joy to be in the fellowship with one another in Jesus Christ, one in Christ. Such a blessing it is to have all these things before us as we study about Jesus the Master, our Savior. All the things that He did, the water into wine, the walking upon the sea, learning of His divine nature, learning of His compassion as He fed 5,000 people that were hungered and wearied. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one who came to take away the sins of the world. That is our Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. And He is the Good Shepherd. And as we think of Him today, He is the resurrection and the life. A little time has passed as you look at this passage from the time in which He raised Lazarus from the dead. We understand that Jesus knew that the Jews had plotted against Him and that they indeed told anybody, watch out for that Jesus. You look, and if you see Him anywhere, you tell us about Him. And if you don't, you know, we're going to cast you out of the temple. They wanted to find Jesus. They wanted to destroy Him. They plotted against Him. They wanted to kill Jesus. And that makes this all the more powerful because Jesus, again, remember, He was God in the flesh. Randy used that term this morning, Emmanuel, God with us. And that very fact meant that they could have killed Him had He allowed it. And as we begin chapter 12 here in our study today, you know, we realize that here it's only 6 days before the Passover. 6 days before the time when Jesus would host the Last Supper and the night before and when He would be crucified on that cross. Boy, I'll tell you, 6 days may sometimes feel like a long time to us, but imagine if you knew at the end of that 6 days what was going to happen like that. I think that time would just fly on by. The lesson today is entitled, Does Your House Honor Jesus? And I'd like to meditate on this a little bit with you. From all the time, each one of us, we all need a little bit of R&R, right? Rest and relaxation. Sometimes we just need to go somewhere in a home somewhere, relax with friends and family, sit back and have conversation, have food. And we must understand that Jesus, you know, He was nearing the end of His ministry. This 3-year public ministry, a very, very short time as we, as adults here, and the older you are, you understand this, you look back 3 years is like a twinkling of an eye. You think back of what you were doing 3 years ago, and it was like yesterday. 3 years. And what we'll read is that in those 3 years, Jesus has done many, many, many things. All the things that we began speaking about in the lesson. You know, in Matthew 8, chapter 20, if you remember, you know, in that 3 years, Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. For 3 years, you would say long years. In that case, it was so short a time. He went from city to city, from town to town, from place to place. He was always on the move. You look at this map up here, and what you're basically seeing is Israel around in the first century. And as you look at that map, you'll see these little dots pop up, and you don't bother counting them. There's 53 of them. Those dots represent 53 places, 53 things, 53 origins where people, Jesus just went. Thousands of miles he walked. And as you look at that, I want you to think about, consider those miles that he traveled. Consider that they were all on foot. Jesus, God in the flesh, walked for the most part from place to place to place over a period of 3 years. And I want you also to consider that that spanned over 8,600 square miles, give or take. And so as you think about that, realize that as the same basic area as the state of Vermont. Imagine going walking from one end of Vermont to the other constantly for 3 years, hardly sleeping at all. And why did he do that? Well, Jesus did that because there were only 12 hours in a day, which sort of indicates that his days were long. You know, he didn't work 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, and clock in and clock out. There were many times when Jesus didn't sleep, when he had no place to rest his head, when he spent so much time with people. And that's the object of that phrase, I think, make hay while the sun shines. Jesus didn't waste 1 minute preparing people, seeking and saving the lost. And in this particular occasion, what we do is we find Jesus, he's actually taking a rest in the home of Simon the leper with Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus there in Bethany. Jesus was on his way to the cross. Remember this. 6 days. Just a short time. And he needed to sit back. He felt that need. He went into that house. Because in very short time, he would suffer the agony of Gethsemane. The shame and the suffering and the sorrow at Calvary. In just a few brief hours, here he was able to build up a little bit of rest in his body, to take on some encouragement, to receive support from his disciples, his family, his friends. And in this short few verses, actually verses 1 through 8, I'd like to point out 6 things. The first is that when it comes to does your house honor Jesus, we ask to honor Jesus, we need to do that in our homes, each and every one of us. And when we look at that in verse 1, we read, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Jesus is in a house of a friend, Lazarus. He called them all friends. He loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so there he was in this home. But Lazarus wasn't the honored guest. Mary wasn't the honored guest. Martha wasn't the honored guest. The question, who was? Jesus. Jesus was the one that they were honoring in there. Jesus needs to be the one that we honor in our homes. And we need to do that as though he is with us always, because the truth is he is. And that begs the question, how would Jesus feel in your home? Would he feel welcomed in your home, in my home? Would he feel welcomed coming into my home? Jesus, the unseen guest in my home, even though he's there. You know, there are many Christians' homes where, and I believe that he would not be comfortable today. The things that are watched on television would not make him comfortable. The video games that people play, the exorbitant amount of time they play on those games, the internet, the violence, the ungodly words, attitudes that are unbecoming the saints. We need to make our homes a place where none of that exists. And these things are very sad. And when these things are done in my home, they become an offense to Jesus. They would grieve His Spirit. And there are many homes, I think, where Jesus would just simply feel like an outsider. But as a Christian, I must strive to have a home where Jesus is always seen. No empty seat. You know, these words, let your light shine. Light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said that. That's how we should be in our homes. Our homes literally should be a home where Jesus' light is seen. Our light, of course, is the light of Christ. A home that honors Jesus. Think about that. It's a home that we strive to live the kind of lives that glorify the Father. In Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 1, we're told to imitate God. So in our homes, we need to be imitators of God. Paul said, imitate Christ as I imitate, or imitate me as I imitate Christ. We need to be that person. And in reference to living before, you know what Peter said, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may. Now look at that. By your good works, which they observe, glorify God. That is a Christian home. And Paul told Timothy that if there's any cleanliness in himself from the latter, he would be a vessel of honor. He wanted to be that vessel of honor for Christ. 2 Timothy 3 and 21, I believe it was. And honoring Jesus in your home doesn't stop with you as the individual. It's the home. The home is where you are. It's where your family is. It's your wife or husband, your children. So when we honor Jesus in our home and people come over, they're going to see the husband. They're going to see the way you treat your wives. And the Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5:25 how to do that. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. When we think of wives, the wives need to honor the husband. Be submitted, submissive to your own husband. She is a gift from God, and together you are united in Christ. The bond of marriage between that God gave makes a home. And honoring Jesus in your home also means children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so the home is a place that the family should honor Jesus. The things that we say and do should honor Jesus. When people come over, they should see our children being godly. That doesn't mean they're perfect, but they should be trained. We should see husbands and wives loving and respecting one another in our homes. And that would honor Jesus. And that's one thing. And it begs the question. If my Lord called me today, if He knocked on my door, if he sent me a text and says, hey, I'm coming, I'll be at your house soon, what would I do? Would I be rushing out of here real quick, say, hey guys, I gotta go. I gotta get rid of some of the things that are laying around in my house. I gotta make sure that Jesus doesn't see that or this. I gotta hide the things that I would be ashamed of if He were to see it. Now, I'm not talking about physical things. Even though, certainly those things that don't honor Christ, we shouldn't have in our homes. But we're talking also about the spiritual things. You know, is my Bible laying there open and well used? Is it all old and well used? Or is it just for show? People see that. Obviously Jesus would. How are we honoring Him? This is what we must do. We need to have a home that is already prepared for the Lord's coming in order that when the Master comes and knocks on the door, there's no room that we don't want Him to see. You know, you don't close this room. Don't go in there. You know, there's no closet we wouldn't want Him to see in. There's no drawer that we'd be afraid if He opened it. There's no cupboard. Our homes need to be ready for the coming of the Lord, both physically and spiritually. That's a home that honors Jesus. That's the home that honors Jesus. Secondly, we need to honor Jesus from the heart. Okay? Think of verse 2 and 3 with me here. Therefore they made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one who those who sat at the table with Him. And then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. There's three separate things that happen in these two little verses. But the very first thing that is mentioned is Martha. We need to be Marthas in our home. What was special about Martha? You know, the Scripture says they made Him a supper and Martha served. Martha was a servant. You go through the Scriptures and you study up on Martha, and that's what you pick. You're going to get a picture of somebody who serves. She didn't just serve Lazarus and Mary. She served anyone in the house, and she served Jesus. When people come into our house, we honor Jesus like Martha by being servants to all who come through and grace our door. Martha was cooking. Martha was serving. Martha was giving the best of her talent, the gift of hospitality. You know, turn with me to the book of Luke. And let's go to Luke chapter 10. And Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. You know, there's a parallel account here. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Him saying, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Boy, she was a servant. And this is the way every Christian should be in their home, serving the Lord. Look again to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 10. You know, Luke 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. And at verse 10. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven on an axe. That's no good. Romans chapter 10, at verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And look, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As a servant of Christ, we need to be a people who make it very clear who we're serving. You know, David said, I will praise You, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Your name forevermore. Isn't that a great way for a servant to be? Serve the Lord with gladness, Psalm 102. From Martha honoring Jesus, it meant serving Him with the talent that she had. She cooked, she cleaned, she served. That was her talent. And she put those things into motion when the master came into the house, and I'm sure when anybody else came. That is how Martha is mentioned in the servant. And so many of us have this kind of a talent. Use it. Use it in your home for guests when they come in. Serving and cooking. Devoted to Jesus. Next, Lazarus. You know, if we think of Lazarus in verse 2, his name is mentioned. But it's interesting, Lazarus. Lazarus, it says there, was one of those who sat at the table with Him. Lazarus is sitting at the table, reclining back. And do you think it's a bad thing that he's not running around helping Martha? No, because what he was doing was showing his love for Jesus. One of those who reclined at the table. It wasn't because he's lazy. It wasn't because he didn't have hospitality. It was because he wanted to enjoy being in the presence of Jesus. When we have people come in our home, wouldn't that be great to let them see and feel and understand that we want to be in the presence of Jesus? You know, he wanted that fellowship while he could. He wanted to talk with Him, ask Him questions, listen to Him speak and give answers. He wanted to enjoy every minute he possibly could with the Master. You know, Jesus, our Lord, resides in heaven now. It isn't that He's going to come and sit in your home in a physical sense, but it doesn't mean we can't honor Him in that way. To have a desire for Him in our hearts. Through the Word of God, we hear Him. Jesus said, if anyone loves Me and he keeps My word, My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. He's there. When you show that kind of love, when you're reading your Bible as somebody comes over to visit and they see these things. In John chapter 10, a couple of weeks back, we read about Jesus. He was the sheep, or the chief shepherd, the shepherd. He says, I'm the shepherd, and they hear My voice, and they follow Me. Simply enjoying the presence of God in Psalm 46 at verse 10. That's where he wrote, be still and know that I am God. Allowing Jesus to be in your heart, through the study of the Word, listening to Him through the Word, following His every command, learning about Him more and more and more. Then those words that Jesus spoke, I will never leave you nor forsake you, will be true to you. And think about this. We can open the door. You can open the door. When Jesus knocks, you can open the door. Even now today, if you've never opened the door as the song says, let him in. You can do that today. But the bottom line is there's never a time, if you have breath, that you can't open that door. When Jesus mentions that door, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him. And he with me. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Think of that. You know, Lazarus opened that door of his heart. He listened to Jesus. He reclined at the table with Jesus. He had conversation with Jesus. He enjoyed Jesus. We can do that today. Christians, we need to be predisposed to have fellowship with Jesus always, and especially in our homes. That's how we honor Jesus in our house. And that was Lazarus. That was Lazarus doing what he needed to do, what he was able to do. He was enjoying the fellowship with Jesus. Mary, the third person in this text. You think about Mary. It's obvious that we need to think about love. Her love for Jesus. You know, Brother Joe, again, you know, I brought this up many times. Randy meant matchless love of God. There's no way we could match God's love. But I'll tell you, Mary certainly did her best, didn't she? Mary is the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. And she didn't serve Jesus food. She didn't just serve him food like Martha. She didn't just sit by and relax and recline and listen to Jesus talk and ask him questions. There's no record of that. In Mary's house, what she does is she honors Jesus. And that was a blessing not only to her, not only toward Christ, but also to all who were in the house. Look at verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with a fragrance of oil. Everyone in Mary's house received the benefit of what she did for Jesus. You'll notice a few things about what Mary did. First, she valued Jesus more than anything else. More than anything. She took a pound of very costly, and I think we probably, most of us know this, but that one little pound of this ointment that came from a plant that was all the way from India. That one little pound was worth an entire year's wages at that time. 300 denarii. A whole year's work average. Does that tell you something? Of the love that she had. She wasn't concerned with the physical things of this world. Nothing was as important to Jesus as anything that she could possibly have. And she poured that all out. She poured that out. That was her home. Our home should be like that. We should be pouring Jesus, His Word, and our love for Him out in the face of people and in the presence of others. Let people know how much we love Jesus. Pouring the thing that is most valuable, the thing that could be treasured the most by many people. You know, it begs the question, how much do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus more than anything else in my life? Would I be willing to sell all that I have and give it to the poor and take up my cross and follow Jesus? Would I be willing to do that? in Luke chapter 18 and at verse 22. Would I be willing to sell all that, give it away, follow Jesus, so that my treasures would be in heaven? Would I be willing to lay down my life for my friends as Jesus did for me? John chapter 15, verse 13. John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. You know, this is a metaphor. When you think of this event with her, with Mary, it's a metaphor that is, would I be willing to empty my house of everything that's valued to me to make room for Jesus, the Master? And when people come, is my house cluttered with things of this world? Or is my focus? You know, I've been in homes where it's obvious that the focus is football, because there's posters and things all over the wall about football. To be honest with you, in my home, and I tell you that I'm not really honoring or making these things precious, but I have pictures that I have taken as I've gone around, and they're mounted on my wall, pictures I took, but they're not precious to me. I don't worship them, talk about them all the time. Pouring that precious ointment out on the feet of the Lord, it wasn't enough. You see, her love, matchless in the sense that it wasn't enough just to pour that on His feet. She went much further. And with her hair, she wiped off or spread that ointment around on the feet of the Lord. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 15, he says, but if a woman has long hair, it's a glory to her. She took the glory of her hair and gave it to Jesus. Humble. Loving. Think about that. Jesus tells us at verse 7, when Judas had condemned her. I mean, Judas, he criticized, condemned. In verse 4 and following, Judas Iscariot, he's the one who betrayed Jesus. Why was this fragrant oil not sold and for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Of course, we know he wouldn't care a bit about the poor. He's the one that carried the purse of the Lord, and he stole from that purse. That's what Judas did. And he stole a lot. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. The poor you have with you always, but me you do not have. Always. She poured that most valuable possession, demonstrating just how much she loved Jesus. To everyone who came in the house would smell that. Everyone would experience that. Everyone would know that she took this precious ointment and thought nothing of that compared to her love for Jesus. Her absolute humility was laying her hair, the glory of her hair, on the feet of the Master. She gave up her pride. Is our home absent of pride? And she wasn't concerned about others, about their thoughts, their criticisms. She worshiped Him with humility. And that's the next thing. You know, in your home, when friends come over or family come over, does the Bible get pushed aside? Do you no longer talk about faith in Christ Jesus and the need of His blood to wash us and cleanse us from our sins? Do we no longer talk about our hope which is in heaven? Do we no longer tell people about how Jesus came into this world to seek and save the lost? How Jesus brought us the gospel, the good news of salvation? How He walked among men and did many miracles, signs and wonders? And how He gave Himself upon that cross freely? He gave His back to the people, His cheeks, they pulled off that beard. Or are we in our homes not honoring Jesus by becoming silent about these things when we meet people? And listen, your home goes with you wherever you go. Work, play, anywhere you go. Now, Judas criticized. And there were others too. You can read that in Mark, the parallel account in Mark chapter 14 at verse 4. There were other people who criticized the same thing. There's always going to be people when it comes to your faith. They will say, "You're wasting your life on that nonsense. You're wasting your time. Your money is being wasted giving it away to people to in a religious sense. Boy, what a waste." But you can't let that stop you. That shouldn't be a door that prevents you from doing what is right, from honoring Jesus with all your heart. You can't let them stop you from worship. Remember that worship is an audience of one. I mean, we're all here, but worship is an audience of one. You are here to worship God. You're here to fellowship together in spirit and in love for one another, but our worship is to God, and it's between you and God. When you love Jesus the way Mary loved Jesus, it doesn't matter what people say. Don't let the, you know, you need to be that proverbial duck. And let that roll off your back like a drop of water. Because all that mattered to her was demonstrating how much she loved Jesus in her house. So here's a question. The way that I worship Jesus, would that fill my house with the fragrance of oil? Spiritually speaking, would people be able to smell my love for Jesus in my house? Would they be able to know this person loves the Lord and he worships God, the very God of creation? Would people see that? And when people come to my house, will they leave with that incredible scent of Jesus as they walk out the door? Would people be able to sense the love that I have for Jesus, the aroma of that love, as we honor Jesus from our hearts? Finally, we need to honor Jesus in our homes whenever the opportunity is at hand. You know, you look at verse 7 and 8 again here in John. Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you don't have always." There's an opportunity that when that door opens, you need to take it. When people come to your house and there's one word said, take that opportunity. Because you have those people with you for such a short time. How many of us have known somebody that has died, never obeyed the gospel, and they were in our home and never heard the gospel? I hope none. You know, Mary didn't put Jesus on a timer. She didn't have to go out and get her calendar and schedule a time to be with Jesus, to anoint His feet and rub that oil with her hair. She wasn't otherwise so busy day to day that she just didn't have time. Mary took the opportunity. He was there. The oil was here. I need to do this now. And she did it before. Remember that. She did it before. Jesus said that let her alone, for she has kept this for the day of my burial. She did it before. Think of that. Everybody around her serving food, sitting back at the table, enjoying the Master. Good things. But her good thing was showing that great love. And when we honor Jesus in that way in our house, what a wonderful thing that is. Remember what Jesus told Satan. Jesus told Satan, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." We have to be passionate about honoring and loving Jesus in our home. The honor Mary gave Jesus was authentic. Not manufactured, natural. Not forced, but with a cheerful heart. She honored Jesus with that opportunity in hand. And listen, when she put that oil there, she poured. This isn't an example for us to say, "Oh, well, we need to give a year's wages to the church once a year. Take how much I make a year, divide it by 12, and that's how much I need to give every week." Because at the end of the year, you'd have nothing. It's not that. But it's an example of how much we should be giving Jesus in our homes. All of us. All of what we have. The thing that's most precious to us, it all should be given to Jesus to honor Him. You know, it's like the Apostle Paul striving for the upward call in Christ. He counted everything. He put it behind Him. He counted it as rubbish or dung. And He looked for the upward call in Christ. That's that message that we have. You know, Jesus Himself was poor. We mentioned nowhere to lay His head. He had no home. He had no animals. He had no livestock possessions. He had no retirement plan. He had no earthly possessions really to speak of. The only thing He actually had, as we can tell in the Scriptures, are the sandals and the clothes on His back, which the soldiers gambled for while He was dying on the cross. Jesus was always concerned about you and me. He was always concerned about the poor. He was the chief shepherd. He was their shepherd. You know, Jesus needs to be honored and glorified in our home. And if the Lord knocks at my door tonight, am I going to feel comfortable letting Him in? If not, I need to rush home right after services and get my house in order. We need to look for everyday ways to bring honor and glory to Christ, to all who grace our door. I've heard of some people that when they eat, they leave one empty chair at the table. They do that in reverence in their own minds to the fact that Jesus is there in their home. In thought, that's really a great thing. Remember that honoring begins by faith and obedience. We need to repent of our sins and be baptized. Those are the first things you can do to honor Jesus. If you have never done that, today is the day. Today you need to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.